Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 255 of CJ Evolution. That's Criminal Justice Evolution. This is a podcast for the criminal justice professional like you, hosted by another CJ professional, and that would be me, Pat Fitzgibbons here. Thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. I know you got many options out there, but we sure do appreciate it. One of the reasons why we continue to grow is because of you, obviously, the listener. If you'd head over to iTunes and rate and review this great show, I sure would appreciate it. There's a link on the CJ Evolution website. Thank you so much. Folks, I am so excited to be partnered with Four Sigmatic. You all know this company. I've been touting it for months. It is a great and powerful coffee company. And I love their mushroom coffee, and you're going to love it too. It doesn't taste like mushrooms, but it gives you that kick and energy in a good way that you need to get you through your day. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic, and you're also, best of all, going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, I hope everybody out there is giving props to the brave men and women who serve this country, whatever you're doing out there, whether it's law enforcement, corrections, whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field, we love you. You're doing a fantastic job. But I really want to give a big shout out to the brave men and women who protect the United States of America every day in the armed forces. My next guest was a Navy SEAL. I guess once you're a SEAL, you're always a SEAL. His name is Jason Redman, an amazing guy. He served all over the world protecting us day in and day out. He has an amazing story and an amazing book called The Trident. Grab a notepad, grab a pen, take some notes from this amazing veteran. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Super excited to have my next guest on, Jason J. Redman, in the house. Jason, welcome, buddy.
Patrick, what's going on? How's everybody doing tonight?
Well, I appreciate it, brother. I had the honor of meeting you down at the Conclave of Warriors, RayCare, Bradley, other kick-ass, speakers down there. It was an amazing time, brother, and I sure had a good time meeting you, and I got a book that I started reading. I want to talk about your book.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Yeah, very blessed to have that out there, and it's pretty neat to see that, you know, it's been 5 years, but it continues to sell, and it continues to impact people.
Yeah. And for those listeners out there, Jason, who don't know who you are, which would be surprising if they don't, I don't know if I gave you any justice in that little bio I gave you. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, sir?
Yeah, I am a normal, everyday, undersized kid with big dreams, a huge heart, and an overcome mindset who had a dream to join the military and serve his country and became a Navy SEAL, had an incredible career pre-9/11, doing all kinds of stuff in Central and South America, accelerated through the ranks, did very well. Earned myself a commission, came back as a young SEAL officer, and this is where I started to trip up a little bit, got a little too enamored with my own leadership abilities, and took a hard fall early on in my career, and really had to learn to humble myself and come to understand what it is to lead. Redeemed myself, came back, had a, at this point, obviously, 9/11 had happened, and found myself in combat in Iraq and a very successful deployment, but found myself at in the middle of an Al-Qaeda ambush in September of 2007. Got on the wrong end of a very well-executed machine gun ambush. Myself and several teammates were shot up. That started a whole new journey for me. And a whole new understanding of leadership, an understanding that you truly can lead from any situation and that your attitude truly will determine the outcome. Mm-hmm. So 4 years, 40 surgeries, ended my operational career, but I continued to stay in the Navy. I wanted to finish my career. I retired with 21 years. In the last final years of getting out of the Navy, I started a nonprofit called Wounded Wear, providing clothing and clothing modifications to wounded warriors. We grew that into the Combat Wounded Coalition. We have been running it for 10 years. We are winding it down at the end of this year, and I'm going to shift focus to totally focus on leadership training, leadership content, how to build that overcome mindset, talking about how do we effectively lead ourselves through something I call the Pentagon of Peak Performance and the Change Pyramid. And yeah, I'm blessed, man. I'm living on a second chance. So there you go. Jason Redman in a nutshell.
Oh, man. I mean, it was such an honor meeting you, brother. And you know, the thing that it really amazes me, I had the honor of seeing you speak in person. And thank you for your service, by the way, sir. If it wasn't for people like you, we would not have this great country. But I always wonder, I mean, what you're laying there, and I remember you explaining it, you know, you're in this, you know, you just see tracers above you. You can't get up, obviously. You're just sitting there. Did you always have that fighter mindset, Jason? I know you get taught that in the teams, you know, it's make or break. But did you always have that, you know, shit, I'm going to get through anything mindset, or was it just developed in the teams?
No, I mean, it developed from a young age. You know, it is an interesting that we are products of our youth. You know, Ray Cashcare, good friend of mine, a teammate of mine that we went through Buds together. You know, Patrick, you got to meet Ray. He spoke at Conclave with me. Ray was a product of a very, very hard, violent childhood. And I love seeing his journey because he could have gone many different ways. I didn't have any childhood like that. I had good parents. I grew up in a very strong Christian home. But I think what happened is I was a small kid, man. All the way up until I was, you know, 17, I was probably still around 100 pounds. And maybe I think I wrestled 112 my sophomore. I bumped to 119, I think, my junior year. And so the bottom line, I was a small kid. So, you know, when you tell people I'm going to join the military and become a SEAL, you know, people laugh at you. I mean, in their minds, they envision this great big Arnold Schwarzenegger, muscle bound guy. And I was, you know, I was lean and wiry.
Which is good. I mean, that's
Well, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know the average SEAL is not the big Arnold Schwarzenegger muscle bound guy. As a matter of fact, those big guys struggle.
I remember going through airborne school in the Army, brother. And I remember we had some SEALs in there. I don't think they got their Trident yet, but they were going through Army airborne school. And they were smaller guys, to your point. They weren't these big, huge Arnold-looking guys, but they could do push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups all day long.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, being strong with your body weight, and most importantly, being incredibly strong of mind. So something about me from a young age, if you told me I couldn't do something, it just fueled my fire, and I just wanted to prove you wrong. And that really developed that overcome mindset. People telling me I couldn't do things just drove me to want to do them, and I wanted to do them to the best of my ability.
Well, and that's a unique – you know, that's unique about you, Jason, and a lot of other people like you, is because most people, they buy into that shit and they say, well, you know, my family's telling me I can't do it. My teammates or, you know, my friends are telling me I can't do it. And they buy into that and they let that hold them back. People like you are a rarity. You know that, where people are, you know, that fuels you. But most people aren't like that, Jason. You know that.
Well, here's the thing, Patrick, and this is what I want to tell everybody. No one out there doesn't have – I call that little inner voice that tries to break us down and tear us down, and that little inner voice that so many people listen to. You know, one of the principles I talk about along with the Pentagon of Peak Performance is this idea of living greatly, that you have to – you have to ignore the naysayers and the haters. And most importantly, the most important voice to ignore is that little demon that lives inside of you that'll try and tell you you can't do something. And that little demon resides inside me. Every day he tells me some bullshit. And the difference between people that are successful and people that aren't is the ones who listen to that voice and give in and say, you know what, you're right.
And they never get ahead, man, because that always keeps them down. That little demon, that little voice takes over.
They're a byproduct of you know, not driving forward because, you know, it's like what we talked about at Conclave. Human nature wants us to, for whatever reason, stay in whatever misery we're in. And even though we'll talk about wanting to get out of it, we don't. You know, you just sit on the X. We talked about the ambush situation. The X is the point of attack. The X is the point of depression. The X is the point of adversity we're sitting in. And so many people just sit there and they whine and cry and talk about how I don't want to be here. I want to be better. I want to make more money. I want to be bigger. I want to be, you know, a SEAL or an airborne ranger or whatever it is. But they don't do the critical things they need to do to get off the X.
But why is that, Jason? Is it just that – I mean, obviously it starts with the individual. But do you think – I mean, there's a saying out there, you probably heard it, you know, the average of the five people you associate with. So I really do think that who you hang out with, you're really going to become. If you hang out with winners and people are going to pick you up, then that's going to be huge. If you hang out with people that are losers and trying to bring you down, you're going to be stuck there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what
so
I mean?
So you got to build good teams.
Yeah.
The teams of people that you surround yourself with are going to be critical. And they're critical in the moments that you're sitting there trying to get ahead. They're even more critical in the moments when you suffer a major failure or setback in your life.
Now, what were some of the biggest – I mean, there's probably a ton of lessons you learned when you were with the SEAL teams. What were some of the biggest lessons you learned, Jason?
You know –
I mean, there's probably
there are so many.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I speak on so many. You know, the funny thing about it is you don't realize the things you learn until you leave.
Mm-hmm.
You just come to accept. And Patrick, I know you feel the same way, being down there with the 82nd Airborne, for those several years. You are working with a group of people that for the most part, they want to be there. I mean, in order to be a part of an airborne unit, you had to raise your hand and say, I want to go through airborne school. And now you're part of a very elite. I mean, the 82nd Airborne. Same thing with the SEAL teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these group of individuals who are all type A. They're driven. And even sometimes the guys that you're like, man, that guy needs to pick up his weight. And, you know, sometimes I was probably that guy. But you get out into the civilian world and you realize, holy shit, man,
yeah.
I was working with some super high caliber people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even if I thought of the worst guy I ever worked with, he's still 10 times above the average person that's out there. And it was only when I got out and I really started to look back at my career and how we build teams and how we build structure and how we affect change and how we peel apart every process and look for ways to make it incrementally better. I talk about something called margins of performance, that it is tiny, tiny microscopic improvements that make you better. And that is the difference between going from good to great and from great to elite. And those were the things I saw. So, I mean, there's so many lessons on teamwork, on all the things we talked about. The biggest thing I learned in the SEAL teams, though, was about leadership and about how to overcome adversity.
Yeah. What really struck me when I saw you in Miami, Jason, I mean, your whole speech, your whole presentation was amazing and riveting. But I remember you talked about when you were recovering in the hospital and you put the sign on your door saying, look, I don't want you coming in here feeling sorry for me because I don't need that. Can you talk a little bit about that really quick?
Absolutely. So when I talk about the Pentagon of peak performance, I talk about five key areas of your life that you need to lead yourself in to have effective balance as both a leader, a modern day warrior, in any part of your life. And that those levels are physical leadership, mental leadership, emotional leadership, social leadership, and spiritual leadership. The sign fell into the realm of kind of a combination of both mental leadership, which is really part of where the overcome mindset is formed, and the second part is in emotional leadership. And I had an amazing journey up to that point to build my overcome mindset. So what happened is I had only been in the hospital for about a week. I was feeling sorry for myself. I won't lie. I mean, these were grievous injuries. Doctors were telling me they were going to have to amputate my arm. I had tubes coming out of every orifice. I was trached. My jaw was wired shut. My nose was gone. I just had tubes coming out of my nose. My eye was damaged. I hadn't looked at myself. I was a mess. And I was really struggling. And I had some people come into the room. And they started to express, they had a little conversation off the side. I was kind of lightly dozing, but in that subconscious state where you can still hear what's going on.
Sure.
And they started talking about what a pity, what a shame. We send these young men and women off to war and they come back broken and battered and they're never going to be a productive member of society and they're never going to be able to take care of themselves. And how sad.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left, man, you know, it's a little bit of the you tell me I can't do something. Yeah. I'll be honest, they did me a favor.
Yeah.
Because it made me angry. It made me angry that I was sitting there struggling to motivate myself. And I realized in that moment that everything you do in life, everything is a choice. It is a choice whether you want to stay in negativity and stay on the X, or whether you are going to identify a new destination and set a new course and get off the X. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I made the choice. I said, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to drive forward. I'm going to lift other people up because I know it's going to bring me up at the same time. I refuse to feel sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. And in this explosion moment in my mind, because I didn't put really any thought into it, I wrote out this sign. Mm-hmm. And it said, attention to all who enter here. If you're coming in this room with sadness or sorrow, don't bother. The wounds that I received, I got in a job that I love, doing it for people that I love, defending the freedom of a country I deeply love. I will make a full recovery. What is full? That is the absolute utmost physically I have the ability to recover. And then I will push that about 20% further through sheer mental tenacity. This room you're about to enter is a room of fun, optimism, and intense rapid regrowth. If you are not prepared for that, go elsewhere.
That's fucking amazing, dude. I mean, that is amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to me that you had that will and those people. Thank God for those people that were in your room that lit that fire on you. And really, I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, you had that, because a lot of people, Jason, you know that. I mean, a lot of people are going to just feel sorry for themselves. They're not going to rally themselves like you did, but you had that, you know, inner strength, that inner drive, something you've had most of your life, it sounds like. And that's where you are at today.
And Patrick, that's why it's so critical. You nailed it. That's why it's so critical to build the right teams mm-hmm. around you. Because it's in those – I'm fortunate enough, whether it was God above or whoever that planted that seed that said, Jay, mm-hmm. you're going to get off this X and drive forward. I still got shit for you to do.
Yeah.
And but sometimes – we can't do it on our own.
No.
And that's what good teammates do for us. They pull us off the X. And I've watched it with a lot of wounded warriors. They're really struggling because of their grievous injuries, but it was just a little push that got them moving again. And so many of you out there that are listening to this, I'm sure right now you're like, oh my God, I'm in a life ambush right now. I'm sitting on the X. I can't get off it. Mm-hmm. You know what? Make sure one of the first things you should do, if you got, you know, Patrick, you nailed it. If you got negative people in your life that are pulling you down,
get rid of them, man. Get rid of
them. Get rid of them. As Ray Cascare says, trim the fat.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to do, brother. You know that, because sometimes, and Ray, you know, talked about a very, you know, hard relationship that I think he had with one of his parents. And, you know, I mean, and those are tough situations. They're not easy, you know, but I mean, friends are easy. You know, you can go get more friends, but sometimes it's hard when it's your family, you know, but sometimes a lot of people, myself included, Jason, I don't know about you, brother, but you know, you have toxic people in your family and it's not like you don't love them. It's just that you don't want to associate with them that much.
No, you're absolutely right. And I thought Koolian did a great job of talking about how you deal with that. Mm-hmm. You know, you control that conversation and you pick and choose what you allow yourself to get into. So, you know, if you got family members that are dragging you down the super combative political debate road, well, you stay away from
yeah.
it. You know, you steer away from that conversation and you keep them at arm's length.
Yep.
I mean, just like Pedro has talked about.
Well, because they'll just take over your life, and you don't need that toxicity in your life. So
exactly, or that negativity.
Yeah.
I am starting to reach a point that I'm trying to cut out anything negative around me in my life. So one of the things that I've stopped doing recently, I don't watch the news anymore.
Yeah,
the news is the most negative, sensational shit that I've seen, and it doesn't matter what network you watch.
Yeah.
It is driven so sensational. We highlight the absolute worst that goes on in society, and it is a drain. It is a mental drain on you. And I really like knowing what's going on in the world, but now I try and get my news through other sources. So that's something I recommend to other people out there. If you are feeling down and negative as you're trying to drive forward and find success, look at the negativity in your life. Mm-hmm. Cut it out. Focus on the positive to drive forward.
Now, how do you start your day, Jason? I've found that, you know, successful people like you, they have like a morning routine. Most people do.
I do.
Successful people. But what's your morning routine?
So my morning routine, I'm usually up about 5:30, 6 at the absolute latest, and I don't hit the snooze button. It just depends on what my day looks like, whether I get up at 5:30 or 6. So, but I get up and I grab a cup of coffee and I go sit at my desk. And one of the first things I do, I am a big fan of planning out your day. I use a goal setting journal called the Self-Help Journal or the Self Journal. If anybody's looking for one of these things, they're awesome. Their Best Self is the website. You can find them. But it is a 3-month goal setting journal. And anybody that knows that I coach them, I recommend this. And it's building 3 sets of goals over a 3-month period. So I sit down first thing in the morning. I open up my journal. It's a daily planner. First thing I do, I open up my phone and I look at what everything I have on my schedule for that day. And there's a schedule side of the book. I write down all my hard times that I have for things I need to do. So immediately I'm planning out my day. Next to that daily planner is a little note section, and I write in the to-dos. What are the little things that I know I have to do? I need to call X. I need to call Y. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of that is a morning gratitude. What are 3 things you're grateful for?
Love that. Love it.
And I tell you what I started recently. Huge shout out to Bedros. I loved his gratitude text.
Oh, yeah.
So I've started doing that, and you know, just it makes you feel good. And later in the day, people write back. You know, I can't tell you. I've had several people that have written me back and said, "Oh my God, I can't tell you how bad this week has been and how much that meant to me."
It's amazing.
And then from there, you write down your at the top of the next page. You write down your 3 goals. So the 3 goals that you have for those 3 months, you write them out. Man, those are that is your front sight focus. That is the destination. This is where I'm going, and make sure I'm still on course. And then you write down what are the 3 things you need to get done today that link back to those 3 goals you've set and within the day. So that's my morning routine. And then usually I take the kids to school and I head to the gym.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, man. And I really love what you said about writing things down, Jason, because and studies have shown that when you write things down, you're more apt to complete those because you can't remember everything. So when you write things down, your mind is going to move to that direction.
I am a big fan of it. I like to write things down. I mean, when I like doing long-term planning or I'm charting out a problem, I'm a dry erase board guy. I like a dry erase board.
That's from the military. Well,
yeah, man, give me a sand table, man. I'm going to town.
Now, how did you get the idea, Jason, for Soft Spoken?
So, you know,
changing gears a little bit into the entrepreneurial realm.
That's okay. I'm going to throw something out at you for a second. I'm going to come back to Soft Spoken, but you know, I had pulled up your profile a little while ago. I wanted to hit a point for you. So, you know, I see that you spent a lot of time in Louisville, and you know that I met the long-haired admiral in Louisville. We actually met. I don't know how many times you busted people at the Phoenix Hill Tavern.
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Jason, because it's not Louisville, Kentucky. It's Louisville, Colorado.
Oh, you're right. Look at that. I didn't even see that. So, well, you know what? You need to get to Louisville, Kentucky. It's an amazing town. For those that are out there.
Hey, they got a good outfit down there. They got the 101st.
And I need to get to Louisville, Colorado.
Yeah, you need to come out here, brother. I mean, we'd love to have you, and you could stay with me and my family and your wife and your kids. And we'd love to have you out here. I don't know if you've ever been to Colorado before, but
We love Colorado, man. Our favorite family pastime is skiing.
Oh, there you go.
So we love coming out to Colorado. I've spoken out there a couple of times. My goal is to speak at all 4 military academies.
Yeah.
We
go to every year I take some of my guys female officers to whoever is interested to a NCLS, which is down at the Air Force Academy in the Springs. It's National Leadership Conference, kind of a symposium for like 3 days. Dude, you'd be awesome down there. I don't know if they've ever approached you with speaking down there at this symposium, but it's amazing.
No. We'll connect offline.
Yeah, we'll connect offline.
Let's talk about that. So let's go back to Soft Spoken. So Soft Spoken was another instance of kind of being told you can't do this or the circumstances were stacking up. So I retired from the military in late August 2013 after 21 years. And I had started speaking in the last couple of years of the military, basically within the military itself, going around and speaking about resiliency and the overcome mindset. And, you know, people said, wow, you know, you're really good. You should do something with this. Never had a plan to write a book, but what had happened is when I was in the hospital, being trached and wired shut, I couldn't talk. So literally everything had to be written. And as I wrote, it started to become very cathartic. And during that whole process of being put together after surgeries, I would just write. And really the book was almost halfway written before it ever became a book. It was just notes from all these missions. So fast forward, working with the Navy approved my book. The SEAL team said, we really like it. And, but they told me, you cannot release the book until you're out of the military. So I retired from the Navy in the end of August 2013. The book released in November. And I got out. I was friends with Chris Kyle. I was friends with Marcus. I was friends with these other guys. And I got out thinking, man, I'm going to step out and I'm going to start speaking and I'm going to make some money and take care of my family and I'm going to share this amazing message. And crickets. Mm-hmm. I could not get a job as a speaker. I lowered my rate, and I was reaching out to all these different large speaking agencies, and they were like, yeah, we're not really interested. And I was like, what is the deal? So I finally said, well, screw it. I'll create my own speaking company.
Awesome.
So that's how Soft Spoken was born. And I ground – so for 6-7 months – I tried to get a speaking gig and I kept lowering my rate. And finally, through a very fortuitous circumstance, one of the guys, fellow SEAL that I work with, had gotten out, was working in Chicago, and the company he was working for, he said, hey, man, you know, a guy I used to work with, he's a pretty good speaker. He has a pretty cool story. Maybe you should bring him in. So I did. And it was like a domino fell.
Yeah.
The door, you know, suddenly I started picking up speaking engagements and it just started to grow.
Yeah. Well, like I've said many times, Jason, I had the honor of seeing you speak in Miami. For those of you who are listening right now, Jason's an amazing speaker, very captivating. Your story is just riveting, dude, and you are very good. And you know, Jason, a lot of people can't get in front of people. Majority of people out there, they can't do it. I mean, you do it with a grace and mastery. Really is amazing. So props to you, brother. You're an amazing speaker.
Well, thank you. And that, like anything else, is practice.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's amazing. I go back and look. Erica, my wife, and I, you know, we were talking about, we went back and looked at some video 5 years ago when I started, and you look at where I am now.
Oh, it's practice, dude.
Yep.
Now, can you talk a little bit about, you talked about your book, The Trident. I said off the air, I'm starting to read it right now. Amazing book. It was forwarded by Robert Gates.
Yes.
I would recommend everybody out. It'll be in the show notes, Jason's book. Can you talk a little bit about The Trident? You got an upcoming book coming up.
I do. We just signed a contract for the second book. So the second book that'll be coming out. Well, let me back up. The Trident is a memoir. Mm-hmm. It follows my military journey. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people joke with me and they're like, oh, you know, you're a SEAL. You got a book. Do you follow the standard SEAL format where, you know, you basically talk about buds and then you talk about what an awesome Achilles warrior you were. And I was like, no, I didn't really follow that format. My book is about Ranger School. It's about my failures as a leader. And it's about recovering and coming to understand what it is to lead.
And really quick, your punishment was you had to go to Ranger School, right?
That's right.
He said, you're going to go to Ranger School.
And I was so bitter about it. I mean, it was a hard point in my life, and I was a hard head. Yeah. I was in denial about some of the mistakes I had made as a young leader. Like many of us, when things go wrong, I saw myself as a victim. I wasn't owning up to some of the mistakes that I had made. And the book follows that journey, and it's really exciting. I have so many people write me, especially young men. I mean, the book is for anyone because I tell people it is an inspirational story. It is a story of leadership. It is a story of failure and redemption, and it's a love story. It follows the story of my wife and I. So I've had everybody from 90-year-old grandmas write me and say, oh, my God, I loved your book, to obviously anybody else across the spectrum. I've had, for some reason in this area, I've had a lot of middle schools assign my book, and I've come in and spoke.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know,
that's
targeted
awesome.
The kids. Yeah, isn't that great?
That's awesome.
But so definitely not your normal SEAL book. And Ranger School was really what I needed at that time in my life. It really humbled me, and it made me appreciate it made me appreciate it. I did. Yeah, man, that's super humble pie. It was so funny because, you know, there was nothing given. He was like, nope, you're going to go sit in Ranger School jail for a month before you class back up.
Now, what about the second book? Because I'm in the middle of your book right now, The Trident. What about, can you talk us, give a little bit of a little glimpse of the second book that's going to come out?
Absolutely. The second book is right now it's scheduled to come out in December of 2019. So we're in the process of writing it. And then there's a long process for the publishing companies to plan all the marketing and get it printed and all that. But the difference, The Trident is a memoir. So there's a ton of lessons in it. People all pull out different lessons that they see in The Trident. The next book is called Overcome, How to Survive Life Ambushes and Lead Yourself to Success. Mm-hmm. And it is focused on building that overcome mindset and leading yourself. Those are the true critical things. My motto is lead always and overcome all. Mm-hmm. And it really gets down into the details and the different theories that I've written, the rules of leadership, the rules of the overcome mindset, the three rules of change, built along with the mechanisms of an ambush, how to survive a life ambush. We give a lot of different, we get deep into the Pentagon of Peak Performance, and we give a lot of examples of things that you can do to implement these things in your life. So it is targeted more at individuals or businesses who are looking at how to build that overcome mindset and be better leaders. I'm working with a lot of different SEALs and special operations guys. Every chapter will close with some special operations or SEAL individual who had a successful military career and now is doing very well in the civilian world. Mm-hmm. And they basically will talk about one of the principles that we discuss in the book, and they will say how this principle they learned in the military, how it is effective and has worked for them in the civilian world. So we'll have some interviews/case studies of how these things are actually utilized. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. Now, for all those people out there, Jason, really quick, who are going to start a business, maybe they're going to start a podcast, do whatever, write a book. What advice would you give to them? Some quick tips and suggestions.
Number one, constantly write things down. Be right every time you have an idea related to your business, podcast, book, whatever it is, be writing it down. I mean, I'm constantly writing things down, even in my phone. You know, if it's just I have an idea, I just throw it in there, and then later I collect them and organize them. That's a big thing. Number two, think it all the way through. In business, I made some mistakes. I could write a whole nother book about running a nonprofit organization for 10 years. And I got to tell you, for those out there that have run a nonprofit, it is probably one of the most difficult businesses to run. You don't have a tangible product to sell. You are basically trying to sell an idea of, you know, you're trying to convince somebody to give their money for a cause that maybe they believe in, you definitely believe in, but you're trying to convince them off your belief that you're going to take their money and invest it in this cause to make a difference. And then you get into all kinds of craziness within the nonprofit realm, how you manage your accounting for funds and restrict on street. The bottom line is we learn so much on this journey like any business. And if I could go back and do it all over again, I would have done a ton more research. I would have found a lot more people who had deep experience in the nonprofit realm. So I will tell anyone, find great mentors. If you were thinking about writing a book, find a great mentor who has written a book and who has been through the entire process. And find different areas. You know, in these days, you can find someone who publishes through the big publishing houses, or you can find somebody that self-publishes. And there are pros and cons to each one. Sure. But find somebody that's been successful in both areas and talk to them, learn from them. Yeah. Same with the business. If you're thinking about starting a business, find several different people that have done it and had a level of success and have had setbacks and even had failures, because you learn more out of your failures than your successes.
Yeah. And be humble, man. You got to be humble.
Yes.
You know, you have to be willing to say, you know what, I screwed up, I made a mistake, I'm going to get back on that horse, and I'm going to keep driving forward. I mean, so many people I see, Jason, you know, they take it so personally, they're always right, everybody else is wrong, they're not humble. They just, I mean, not everybody, but you know what I mean. I mean, some people just don't have that humility.
Yeah, and it's critical, man. You can get so much more done in life. I have definitely met some people that are the same way. And, you know, I'm not perfect, but I definitely have no problem saying, yep, I messed that up.
Well, brother, it was an honor having you on the show. If people want to find you, Jason, where can they locate you?
You can find me at jasonredmond.com. That is my website. And from there, you can find all my social media platforms. We have our own podcast, the JR Overcome Show, myself and Ray Cash Care, and it is a podcast focused on leadership and resiliency and positivity. And so that's on all major podcast platforms. I'm on almost all the major social media.
And I've listened to a couple of the episodes. You guys are killing it, man. I love the dynamic that you guys have. That is awesome.
Thanks, man. Well, the next episode drops tomorrow. We interview actually one of the individuals you got to meet at Conclave, Patrick. We're interviewing Jay Dobbins.
And he's coming on my show next week.
Oh, good.
Just an amazing, amazing
guy.
I
love that guy.
Yeah, he is.
Selfless.
Oh, yeah.
Down to earth.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, brother, thank you so much for taking the time, Jason. I know you're very busy. Much success to you in the future, brother. If you ever need anything, please reach out. Your book will be up, linked up in the show notes, along with all the other information we talked about, brother. Again, much success to you and yours in the future.
Patrick, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.